Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Yamuna Shari Yamuna Tira Yamuna Shari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Hari Gaur Hari Gaur Hari Gaur Jai Jai Prabhupad Prabhupad Gaur Premanande Hari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivraj Gacharjo Ashtuttara Shatu Shri Shriman Abhay Charanar Bindu Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Jiri Govardhan Ki Jai श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय, श्री मथुरा धाम की जय, श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय, श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय, गंगा माई की जय, यमुना माई की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी महारानी की जय, हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि। All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine निर्विशेष शून्यवादी काष्ट शील प्रभुपाद की गौ प्रेमानंदे हरि हरे कृष्ण। टुडे इज एकादशी एंड डे आफ्टर टुमारो इज नृसिंह चतुर्दशी। सो लॉर्ड दैट इज लॉर्ड नृसिंह देव्स अपीयरेंस। Therefore, it has been decided that for today, tomorrow, and day after tomorrow, we will discuss about Lord Nrisimhadev and his pastimes. Therefore, there is no verse written on the board. We'll just discuss about Lord Nrisimhadev and the significance of this incarnation of the Lord. Do you think it's a good idea? Yeah? Okay. So, who is Lord Nrisimhadev? We sing every day, few times, Keshava Dhrita Narahari Rupa. Keshava means Sri Krishna, Dhrita, assume. Narahari Rupa, the form of Lord Nrisimhadev. Krishna gave the assurance that whenever there is a decline of religious principle, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharatah abhuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijama, that I will come to re-establish the religious principles whenever there is a decline in dharma. When does that decline of dharma takes place? When does it take place? The decline of dharma takes place when the atheistic individuals, the offenders or the offenders of the Lord become prominent. When the opposition to Krishna consciousness become prominent, then the dharmasya glani takes place. And at that time the Lord appears himself. Especially in three ages, three very special demons appeared, and in order to kill them, the Lord appeared. And behind that also there is an anecdote. The gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay, wanted to give the Lord the pleasure of experiencing the mellow of chivalry. Mellow of chivalry is experienced by fighting. Chivalry, Viraras, the mellow of fighting. There is a mellow that is experienced through these fights. But in Vaikuntha no one could actually enable the Lord to experience that mellow, because in Vaikuntha everyone worships the Lord with awe and reverence. In Vrindavan the mellow of chivalry is there. Actually in Vrindavan All the mellows are there. Because Krishna is the ocular Asamrita Murti. Krishna is the personification of all mellows. There are five principal mellows or sthayi ras, unchanging mellows, constant mellows. They are Shanta, Dasya, Vatsalya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Madhur. Mellow of neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental and conjugal. These five mellows are principal mellows, mukha ras. And then there are seven secondary mellows, gauna rasas. They are like hasya or laughter, joking, mellow of humor, which is experienced out of joking. Adbhut, surprise. Veera, chivalry. Rudra, anger. Bibhatsa, ghastly. Bhayanak, fearsome. And Karun, pathos. So these are the seven secondary mellows. In total there are 12 mellows. Now Krishna is the personification, Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Murti means the personification of all the mellows. That means in the personality of Krishna we find all these 12 mellows. That means the devotees have the ability to experience these mellows with Krishna. But that is not the case in Vrindavan, Vaikuntha. Krishna is in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna experiences chivalry. Krishna's friends challenge Krishna. Krishna, today in wrestling, I'll defeat you. Or in Vrindavan, some demons come and Krishna rolls up his sleeves. Well, Krishna doesn't have sleeves. But Krishna tightens his belt. When he challenges, he tightens up his the cloth that works as his girdle. And and then Krishna slaps his thighs or slaps his arms. This is a kind of a way to express one's challenge. Okay, come. So when the demons come, Krishna prepares himself like that. And then all the cowherd boys keep on cheering Krishna. Go, 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 Krishna. But in Vaikuntha, these kind of experiences are not possible. Because in Vaikuntha there is no demon. In Vaikuntha there is no one as friend who can challenge Krishna, Krishna come and fight with me. In Vaikuntha everyone knows Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everybody treats Krishna with awe and reverence. Therefore in Vaikuntha this mellow of chivalry is not experienced. But these two gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, Joy and Vijay, felt that it would be so wonderful if we could enable Krishna to experience this mellow. And Krishna knows everyone's heart. And then Krishna made the arrangement. And Krishna made a very special arrangement. At that time, 4 6-year-old boys just appeared there. And they start naked. They are not wearing any clothes. And Jaya and Vijaya, to be a keeper's spell, this is not the way they can enter into Vaikuntha. One should be properly dressed. That is Vaikuntha. Everything is very systematic and well organized. Everyone has to be dressed properly. Everyone has to be in his finest behavior. Everyone must be in a spick and span condition. And these 4 wandering children came and Jai and Vijay stop them. But who are those four personalities? Those four personalities are the first four sons of Lord Brahma. And they were very, very upset. How dare you stop us? You are judging us according to our external appearance. You are not seeing the state of our consciousness. So you are not fit to be in Vaikuntha. So you fall down, they cursed. But this was the arrangement of Narayana. So they were cursed that for three times they would appear in the earth, in the material nature. And in this three incarnate, in this three lifetimes, they all, both of them would become enemies of Krishna. And these two personalities appeared in the age of Satyayuga as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. In Dwapar Yuga as in Treta Yuga as Ravan and Kumbhakarna, and in Dwapar Yuga as Shishupal and Dantavakra. And although it was not mentioned, they appeared in Kali Yuga also as Jagai and Madhai. Because the incarnation of the Lord in the age of Kali is covered, therefore their identity in the age of Kali hasn't been disclosed. It was kept as a secret. So these two personalities appeared as two sons of a very, very exalted personality, Kashyap and Diti. Kashyap is the one of the prominent Prajapatis who appeared from Lord Brahma. And Kashyap got married to different daughters of Daksha. One of them was Diti. And these two personalities appeared as the sons of Diti, as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu was the elder one and Hiranyaksha was the younger one. And from their very childhood they became extremely powerful. And they started to cause distress to everyone, and they became inimical towards Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whenever they would hear the glorification of Hari saying that He is the greatest, they would challenge that how can anyone be greater than us? We are the greatest. And these two personalities became so powerful, they started to travel around the world challenging everybody. Hiranyaksha, with a mace in hand, he just kept on wandering over the world, challenging all the powerful personalities and defeating them. And after defeating many such exalted personalities, he appeared in the region called Bibhavari, the region of water, where the god of water, Varun Dev, resides. So he challenged Varun, and Varun knew that he is no match for Hiranyaksha. So Varun told him that he was old, he is weak, so he is not, Hiranyaksha will not really derive much pleasure fighting with him. So he just suggested. Then Hiranyaksha asked, so tell me, who should I fight with? Who is my equal? Who is powerful enough to contest with me? Then Varun Dev said, the real personality who can really fight with you, who is a right match for you, is Hari. Then he asked, well, where can I find Hari? He said, well, it's difficult to find him. But if your search is sincere enough, then you'll find him. And at that time, Hiranyaksha saw a very strange looking creature who appeared, a gigantic boar, placing that earth planet on his task, is rising from the nether region. It's a can you imagine how big his form was? Like the earth was on his task. The boars have two tasks going up like that. So this has been described as Vasati Dashana Shikhare Dharani Tavalagna. Dharani, the personality of earth planet, was lying or placed supported by your tasks. Dashana Shikhare, at the tip of your task. And it appeared, your form is so beautiful that the earth that became dirtied due to being, due to have fallen into the lower region, nether region, the lower planetary system, that the earth planet on your task looked like a mark of blemish on your beautiful appearance. Shoshini, just like there is a blemish in the moon, this earth looked like the blemish in your personality that you are, when you are lifting the earth planet like that. So, seeing that, this personality, Hiranyaksha, became extremely upset. He said, who dares to lift the earth without my permission? Because the earth had fallen into the nether region because of him. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya means gold. Hiranyakashipu, who used to lie in the pillow of gold. Golden pillows were his place of rest. That means he accumulated all the gold. And Hiranyaksha, his eyes were just searching for gold. Wherever there is gold, he would take that gold and accumulate it. So these two personalities were extremely fond of gold and accumulated all the gold from the planet. And this gold actually sustains the planet in the orbit. It causes the balance or makes the planet to remain in the orbit. Now when all the gold had been taken away, Earth planet lost its balance and fell into the lower region. And this personality was lifting her from the nether region. So Hiranyaksha became extremely upset that somebody dares to interfere in his arrangement. And he just went and attacked him. And a tremendous fight ensued. They fought for a long time. Now you can see how his desire to experience Virarasa was being fulfilled. They fought, the Lord fought with Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyaksha was giving him such a good fight. A hero actually enjoys a good fight. So the Supreme Hero, the Personality of Godhead, also enjoys a good fight that was given by Hiranyaksha. But at that time, all the demigods were watching that fight. And at one point, Hiranyaksha struck the mace of the Lord so hard that his mace went flying. And the Lord was standing there unarmed. And all the demigods, they just became very, very worried. Now what will happen? They thought that now this personality was going to kill Hiranyaksha who was causing so much distress for them, but now he is standing there unarmed, and this demon can hit him now with his mace, and maybe he'll destroy him, he'll kill him. So they started to cry out in anxiety, "My Lord, our life here is at the tip of our throat. It can leave our body any moment due to anxiety. So please save us from this extremely critical situation." So being urged by the demigods like that, what did the Lord do? He simply slapped Hiranyaksha on his cheek with his left hand. And Hiranyaksha went reeling and his life here left his body. The news reached his brother Hiranyakashipu that his brother is dead, and he couldn't believe that. Could anybody ever kill him? And upon inquiring, he found out who killed him. His arch enemy Hari has killed him. So he decided now to kill Hari, take revenge. This part of Srimad Bhagavatam is very beautiful. You can see that Hiranyakashipu was so wise. In one hand, he knew the futility of material existence. He knew the the science or the secret of transmigration of the soul. He knew about the spiritual identity of an individual. He is specifying his mother and others, other family members. So beautifully he is advising, don't lament. Body is perishable, but the soul is eternal. His body is dead, but he is still there. And in this way he just... But at the same time, he could not accept the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What does it mean? He was an impersonalist. The demons, although they have the understanding of the spiritual existence or spiritual identity of an individual, but they cannot accept the personality of Godhead. They go up to the, they accept the Brahman, and they think that the spiritual reality is devoid of any form and any variegatedness. So now Hiranyakashipu wanted to take revenge, but he also realized that this Hari is extremely powerful. Because he knew Hiranyaksha was so powerful, and he killed Hiranyaksha, so he must be more powerful than him. And he knew that Hiranyaksha was so powerful, and his power also is equal to Hiranyaksha. So Hari is more powerful than him. So now if you want to challenge Hari and fight with Hari, he has to become more powerful than Hari. So he decided to go and perform austerities to become so powerful that he would become more powerful than Hari. His motive, his objective was to become immortal. Become immortal and then kill this Hari. So he went straight to Mandar Mountain and to perform austerities to please Lord Brahma so that he would become immortal by his blessings. In the meantime, when Hiranyakashipu left his kingdom, the demigods were already enslaved by Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha defeated all the demigods. They took over their kingdom. The demigods were either running away, hiding in different corners of the universe, or they accepted his submission and became submissive to him. They accepted his authority and became submissive to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu actually became the ruler of the higher planetary system, heavenly planet. So, So when Hiranyakashipu left, then the demigods took advantage of his absence and wanted to plunder his kingdom. So the demigods did that. And at that time Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadhu, was pregnant. So they found that this lady, his wife, is pregnant, and they felt that she must be carrying a demoniac son of this illustrious demon. So they took her into captivity and they were dragging her to the heavenly planet to keep her imprisoned. So at that time Narad Muni came and found that Kayadhu was being insulted and humiliated and tortured in this way. So Narad advised them, look, what are you doing? Don't insult a woman. Because if you insult a woman, then you lose all your piety. And inauspiciousness will prevail. Let her go. Then he said, no, we are simply keeping her into captivity so that when the child is born, then we'll kill the child. But Narada said, there's nothing to be worried about her child. Her child is going to become a great devotee of the Lord. He's not a demon. He's going to become an illustrious devotee, the best of the devotees of the Lord. So then the demigods let her go. But where she would go, she didn't have any relative and friend to go to. So she pleaded, please, you give me some shelter, to Narad Muni. And so Narad Muni compassionately gave her shelter in his ashram. And in the meantime, Hiranyakashipu started performing a terrible austerity. He stood on one leg. Not only on one leg, he stood on the toe of his leg. And with the other leg folded up, he's standing on his toe. With his hands raised upwards, he stood there without eating, without sleeping, without drinking, motionless, he just stood there. For how many years? 125 years. And he was just standing there without eating, sleeping. Such terribly powerful personality. But then what happened is the ants started to eat up his body. They thought they got a wonderful source of supply of food for them. And they made their residence around his body. And as a result of that, they built an ant hill. And Hiranyakashipu's body was within that ant hill. And the ants started to eat up his body. His whole body was eaten up. The skin, the fat, the muscles, the nerves, the intestines, lungs, kidney, heart, everything, brains, everything is eaten up from without and from within. But Hiranyakashipu was such a powerful personality that he kept his soul in the body, in the marrow, in the bone marrow of his body. That is how he sustained himself. And as a result of his austerity, such a terrible heat was created that the demigods became perturbed. So they approached Lord Brahma and said, please do something. And then Brahma came and asked Hiranyakashipu, like, what do you want? Of course, when he came, Hiranyakashipu was not there, it was just a skeleton standing there. So Brahma took some water from his water pot and sprinkled it over his body, and immediately a beautiful body appeared. His body was rejuvenated. And Brahma asked Hiranyakashipu, so what do you want? Why are you performing such severe austerity? What do you want? He said, I want to become immortal. Brahma said, look, I can't give you the boon of immortality. Ask any other boon. This boon I can't grant because I myself am not immortal. When I myself am not immortal, how can I grant you the boon of immortality? Then Hiranyakashipu said, okay, then give me the boon that I won't be killed by any demigod, any Gandharva, any Rakshasa, any Kinnara, and any human being, any animal. He covered all the different species of lives. Brahma said, that I can grant. Grant it. Then Hiranyakashipu was not quite convinced yet. So he said, give me the boon that I won't be killed up in the air, on the land, or in water. Brahma said, that boon I can give. Grant it. Please give me the boon that I won't be killed by any weapon. Grant it. Please give me the boon that I'll not be killed during the day or at night. Grant it. Please give me the boon that I won't be killed inside the room or outside the room. Grant it. So now Hiranyakashipu felt that he has become immortal. Indirectly, he forced Brahma to give him a boon of immortality. And Hiranyakashipu then started to torment all the friends or subordinates of Hari, especially the demigods and the sages and all those who are submissive to Hari. And in this way Hiranyakashipu created a chaos around the world. But while he was ruling over the upper, middle and lower planetary system, keeping everyone in constant fear, something very unusual happened. His little son, Prahlad, whom he sent to the teachers, to his guru's sons to be educated by, he got the report that he is promoting Hari's glory. He is telling all his friends how to chant the glory of Hari. And he is telling them why to become submissive to Hari. And by being submissive to Hari, one can become free from all anxiety and fear. So Hiranyakashipu became very perturbed. Actually, what happened is he called his son and he asked him that, so what did you learn from your teacher? You've been learning nicely? He said, yes, I'm learning very well. So what did you learn? I learned that to become submissive to Hari and sing his glory all the time is the ultimate goal of life. Hiranyakashipu became so worried, so angry, that he practically threw the boy from his lap. And he called the teachers. Now, what are you teaching my son? And they were trembling. Actually, everybody used to be so afraid of Hiranyakashipu that he could do anything. When he was angry, probably he would just chop the head off for no rhyme or reason. So trembling all over, they told Hiranyakashipu that they didn't actually teach all that. And then they also, upon inquiring, they found out that this is what he was teaching to his friends also. So Hiranyakashipu then said that maybe the demigods are infiltrating, coming out in disguise and contaminating the child's mind. So he made a very special arrangement so that, what to speak of a demigod, even no bird can come into that area. That place was so well guarded. But then Hiranyakashipu called his son again after some time and asked him, "My son, so what did you learn in the school?" So he said, "Serving Hari is the ultimate goal of life because we all are eternal servants of Hari." So Hiranyakashipu became extremely angry. And then he eventually decided to kill his son. When he saw that his son is not going to listen to him, he decided to kill him. And he gave the order to his bodyguards, "Kill this child immediately." They unsheathed their weapons and they attacked Prahlad to cut him off into pieces, to cut him into pieces. But nothing happened to Prahlad because all the time he was chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And they all were surprised. Their weapons are so powerful and so effective that with these weapons they could even fight with the demigods. But these weapons became totally ineffective with this, in case of this child. So then they went and reported to Hiranyakashipu. Then Hiranyakashipu suggested that throw this boy in the pit of venomous snakes. But still nothing happened to Prahlad because he was chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama." And these are not ordinary snakes. These are celestial snakes. But still they couldn't do anything. And the snakes, with tears in their eyes, they started to plead to Hiranyakashipu that, "Please don't mind us not being able to fulfill your command. Look, all our fangs are broken and our sacks are empty, our sacks of poisons are empty, but nothing is happening to this child." Then Hiranyakashipu decided to create a fire and throw him in that fire. A mountainous logs were gathered together and it was lit, and Prahlad was thrown into that fire. Nothing happened. Why? Because he was chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And then they decided to throw him out of a cliff. And they did that. But nothing happened to the child. As if somebody caught him in the mid-air and softly placed him on the ground. He just landed so softly, so smoothly. And Hiranyakashipu became very, very upset. "Now what's happening? No one can do anything to this child." Then they decided that they would throw him in the ocean and then cover him with rocks and mountain peaks. And so they did that. Prahlad was thrown into the ocean and big boulders and mountain peaks were thrown over him to bury him under the ocean. But after a while they found, to their great amazement, that Prahlad just smoothly swimming across the ocean and coming into the shore. Hiranyakashipu was surprised. "Where did you get this power? Where did you get this power?" He said, "I got this power from the same source where you are getting this power from." "What is that source?" "Hari, I told you so many times." Hiranyakashipu asked, where is your Hari?
Hari is everywhere.
Is he in this pillar?
Yes, he is in this pillar also.
So Hiranyakashipu immediately unsheathed his sword and he just jumped onto the pillar and struck the pillar with his sword and made it break into pieces. Thinking that, okay, if that is true, if your Hari is there, now he is dead. But then as the pillar broke, Hiranyakashipu noticed a very strange creature emerging from between the broken pieces of the pillar. As the pillar crushed into pieces, from there emerged an unique personality. His body was like that of a man, but he has a head of a lion. So he was surprised and he attacked that creature, attacked that personality, and they fought. Again, they fought for a long time. And then finally, when the day was just turning into night, when it was neither day nor night, twilight, at that time the Lord picked him up, picked Hiranyakashipu, placed him on his lap, and with his nails he tore open his abdomen. He pulled out his intestine, wrapped his intestine around his neck like a garland, and killed him. Now Hiranyakashipu thought that he was going to outsmart Brahma. He did outsmart Brahma, but nobody can outsmart Krishna. He said, no man, no animal, no demigod, no Gandharva, no Kingara will be able to ever kill him. So his form was neither a man nor an animal. He was half man, half lion. Is he a man? No. Is it an animal? No. So a unique form. He won't be killed by any weapon. He didn't use any weapon, he used his name, which is not a weapon. Tabo karo kamalo bari nakham adbhutashinam. And it was, as I mentioned, it was neither day nor night. It was twilight. And he placed him on his lap, which is neither air, nor land, nor water. His lap. He was not to be killed inside the room or outside the room. He actually sat on the threshold. So it was neither inside the room nor outside the room. So in this way, the Lord outsmarted Hiranyakashipu and killed him. So, in this way the Lord, in order to protect his devotee, appeared in this most wonderful form. This form is very special form, which is, in that form the Lord removes all the impediments from the path of a devotee's devotion. Bhakti bighna vinashak. The destroyer of the impediments of bhakti of a devotee. So in this way, the Lord Nrisimhadev is the personification of removal of impediments, or is the giver of success. When impediments are removed, then what we get? We get success. So, if we want to be successful in our devotional endeavor,
then we must take shelter of Lord Nrisimhadeva, because he will remove all the impediments. And he is Bhakta Vatsala. This way, through these pastimes, we could see how merciful the Lord is to his devotees. And he became so angry, that no one was able to approach him. Everyone was afraid. Even Brahma was afraid. Even Lakshmi Devi was afraid. Lakshmi Devi felt that, I can't approach him like this. He's so angry, I don't know what will happen, what he'll do to me even. Ganesh also, who is Lord Nrisimhadeva's devotee, Jat Pada Pallava Jugam Binidhaya Kumbha Dande Pranama Samaye Sadhanadhi Raja Vikhnan Bihantu Malamasya Jagatrayasya Govindam Adi Purusham. Lord Ganesh, Ganesh is famous for removing the impediments from three worlds. Vikhnan Bihantu Malamasya Jagatrayasya. How does he do that? Holding the lotus feet of the Lord on his tumulai, on the two bumps that he has on his forehead, he is holding the lotus feet of the Lord up there. And by doing that, he is actually assuming, he is actually getting this wonderful ability to remove all the impediments from the three worlds. So in this material nature, Ganesh is removing the material impediments, but to a devotee, the spiritual impediments are removed by Lord Nrisimhadeva. So when no one was able to approach Lord Nrisimhadeva, Brahma requested Prahlad, Prahlad, you go. Because for your sake the Lord has come. His anger is due to you being tormented by this demon who happened to be your father. So this is how Brahma urged Prahlad Maharaj to go near the Lord and pacify him, subside his anger. And when Prahlad came, the Lord picked him up, placed him on his right lap, and started to caress his body and started to lick his body as an expression of his love for him. And this is how his anger subsided. Lord Nrisimhadeva came to Navadvip, Nrisimhapalli. Next to Nrisimhapalli is Devapalli. The demigods could not approach him there also. They are afraid that even though his anger pacified, but still whatever remained was so terrifying that the demigods were not able to approach him. But then they followed him. And the Lord came on his way back to the spiritual sky. He stopped in Vaikuntha, Nrisimhapalli, near Navadvipa. And there the Lord became extremely pacified. He became, because this is such a peaceful zone, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so wonderfully, in a very, very magnanimous mood, is distributing Krishna prema. So the Lord came here to remove all the impediments on the path of the devotion, devotee's path of devotion. So if demigods wanted to take shelter of that Lord, they wanted to take advantage of the Lord, and then they decided to settle down. So next to Nrisimhapalli is Devapalli, the area where the demigods reside. And there are some mount hills there still. So So these are the, that's the place where the demigods are still residing, receiving the mercy of Lord Vishnu. One small anecdote to end the class today. The question arises, why did Prahlad become such a great devotee of Nrisimhadeva? This has been described in Harivakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami, quoting from some Puran, that in his previous life, Prahlad Maharaj went out on a picnic with his girlfriend. And then they came to a ruin. They thought that that would be a nice place to have to spend the time there. So they cleaned the ruin and then they decided to spend time together. But in course of time, they picked up a terrible fight. They had a very, very bitter argument. So much so that they became, both of them, he became, especially the person became so upset that he did not eat anything that whole day and he didn't sleep the whole night. Now, that place was, the ruin was actually an old temple of Lord Nrisimhadev, turned into a ruin. That day was the day of Nrisimha Chaturdasi. And because on that auspicious day, they cleaned Lord Nrisimhadev's temple and they fasted the whole day and stayed up the whole night, Prahlad Maharaj acquired so much piety that in his next life, he appeared as a great devotee of Lord Nrisimhadev. Now the question may arise, okay, Lord Nrisimhadev's temple, how could there be Lord Nrisimhadev's temple if Lord Nrisimhadev were yet to come? Well, the Lord appears in every kalpa. So we have to understand that this temple of the Lord was existing from some other kalpa. So in every kalpa, the Lord appears as Nrisimhadev in this particular tithi. At least we can understand the benefit that one can derive just by cleaning the temple of Nrisimhadev, by fasting on that day and staying up the whole night. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Okay, now let's go. I mean, I've used up the entire time. Now let's go for darshan of Lord Nrisimhadev. And I'm not inviting any question today. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Jagadish Hare, Jai Jagadish Hare, Jai Jagadish Hare.